Joseph. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's Welcome Weekly Conference Call. Today is Monday, October 12th, 2015. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern until midnight. If you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140. Participant code is 385-698. Radio hosts are invited into the queue if they have any questions or a comment. If anybody would like to email us a question, you can send your questions to questions, plural, at nationalliberty.org. Also, please remember to support our business partners. You can see their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support National Liberty Alliance's effort to save America. And also, please support National Liberty Alliance by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right. Okay, let's take a look into the Lord's Word. Tonight, scripture reading is Proverbs 14, I'm going to pick up where we left off last week. Let's see. Is it 14 or is it 11? Hang on 1 second. I may have written this down wrong. All right, I'm going to read 11. I got here picking up at verse 14. And we'll read to the end of the chapter. I think it's 31 verses. So 14 to 31. I'm not sure whether we read this before, but we're going to read this again if we did. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. A gracious woman refraineth honor, and strong men retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendereth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are of a forward heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Through hand, joint in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seek good proceedeth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. He that trusteth in his own riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth much more the wicked and the sinner. Okay, that was Proverbs chapter 11, 13 or 14, 14 through 31. Okay, before we get started, I just want to make a few comments here. We're going to try, last week after our meeting, we did talk, some of the national leaders, a few of us got together and talked about what we're doing here on the Monday night program. And we're not going to entertain any cases. So when we go into the Q&A, let's talk about what we're doing, where we're going, and how we're going to get there, questions of that type. But anybody with a personal case, we're not going to get involved in it. We're not going to discuss it. Sometimes we get too tied up and we spend way too much time, and it's interesting, of course, to the person whose case it is, but often to a lot of people it may not be so interesting. But we're not here to really help people necessarily to win court cases, and we don't want to get lost in that. We have a job to do, and that is to do our best, we the people, to save America by bringing justice and the king of the court back into the court. And so that's what we want to focus in on. We are doing, of course, the habeas corpuses, and we're filing papers, and we do have a paper we're filing this week, and we're going to look at that tonight. It's an information. But we are filing habeas corpuses. There's about 7 different types of cases that we are able to file. Maybe something else may come up, and we don't realize it, and we'll make it 8. But right now, there's about 7. Anybody who is in jeopardy of losing their liberty, losing their home, losing their children, losing their parents. I mean, goodness, these courts come and take our parents away from us and take control over them too. So those are the types of cases that we definitely, yeah, you can have that. Those are the types of cases we definitely are involved with. But we don't get involved with traffic tickets. We don't get involved with, things that people are, caught up in the courts. People who have serious cases and they want to try to settle them and they feel that they need some restitution, well, then they should roll up their sleeves and work with us to get the power in the court and the people back into the court. And then they can come into the courts and ask the grand jury for restitution. If we spend our time trying to help and assist people to win their court cases, we're not going to do the job we're here for. The other thing is we want to try to get everybody that's in the queue. Often we don't make it where we can get everybody that's in the queue. So only one question per person. If someone wants another question or another comment, another subject matter, after they have their first time on the phone on the in the queue, then they can come back into the queue and get back in line. And at least this way, we'll try to get a hold and be able to talk with hopefully everyone who will have a chance to bring up comments or questions or whatever it is. If I make an error or something, and because I have a habit of asking people, is there anything else? And then, of course, they go into another subject. I'm sure I will be corrected by some of the other national leaders that are on the call here, and will tell me to move on. And so we'll move on. And again, we're not going to get involved with cases. We do have a page on the website. You can go up to our website, and you can go to the directory. And you can click on track habeas corpus petition. So if anybody has a case and they want to know where it's at, what's going on, they can click on the tracking. And they should be able to see this here. Now, it's not up to date yet. I'm going to push on this a little to tomorrow. I spoke with Linda about this. I know Daniel is kind of a little swamped with a lot of files that he needs to get up and get them into the intake. So we're going to push them to really kind of get the folders up there and just start loading everything up as quick as possible so people will see that they're in intake. And then, the status, people will be able to follow their status so that they don't need to be calling to find out where it's at. Of course, if they don't see their name up here, then they need to be calling to find out where the case is at. But keep in mind, right now, Daniel, who's handling this, is kind of tied up with a lot of cases, trying to get him in there and figure out how things work. So he's kind of in a learning mode at the same time. And when you file a case, give him 48 hours or so to be able to get to it and get everything together and post it up online. But anyway, you can follow your case on this page, and the first part of the page tells you what each one of the different statuses means, and so you'll be able to follow through. Okay, let's see. All right, well, let's take a look at tonight's subject. Tonight we're going to take a look at an information. This is planning to go out this Wednesday. So we did date it, and it is up online. It's dated October 14th, which is 2 days from now. And so I know it's not going to go out tomorrow, but I'm pretty sure we should be able to get it out the next day. It's going to be physically mailed to all 94 courts. And we'll be faxing out. I think we'll probably be faxing this out, hopefully tomorrow maybe we'll start faxing. And it'll be faxed to all elected all elected servants on the federal and state levels, all the houses and so on. Now, anybody who wants to follow along with this, you can go out to, of course, our webpage, nationallibertyalliance.org, and highlight directory and click on the power of the sheriff, bottom left side, I believe it is. Highlight directory, click on the power of the sheriff. You can also get to this page by typing in powerofthecountysheriff.com. Down towards the bottom, we have all of the papers that we have filed and all of the memos that we've been sending to the sheriffs are on this page. This is paper number 10-10, information to judges. We're working on one to Congress right now, too, so hopefully maybe next week we'll be able to get the Congress one out. And in between, we'll be sending continuing more memos with sheriffs. We have about 8 of them done, I think, 7 or 8, maybe even more. I don't remember. But we have quite a few memos done. They're one-pagers. We try not to overload the sheriffs. Just give them one page. And, you know, we've already given them a massive amount of information. They can always go back and refer. We also refer back to this page where they can get a copy of any memo and the papers that we've been filing. They get a copy of everything. And this page really gives them a lot of information on their power and their authority that they need to really start stepping up to the bat and taking control of things in their county, start putting some of these people in jail. Okay, so anybody wants to follow along, again, it's number 10, information to judges. One more time, highlight directory. Come down and click on the power of the sheriff. Go towards the bottom of the paper, the page, and you'll see number 10. Okay, this is going to the United States District Court for all 94 federal districts. let's see. We give a reference. This is an open letter / information to all elected and appointed servants from the full bench directed to the judges of courts at Nisi Prius. The purpose of this information is to inform in the hope of reforming and to prepare for potential indictments upon all elected and appointed servants who refuse to comply with the law of the land, also known as the Constitution for the United States of America, and thereby continues acts of subversion. Take judicial notice. Silence when you have a duty to speak is fraud, and thereby acquiesce to the charges through default. In the spirit of the Declaration of Independence, we act and hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter it and to institute new gods, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers upon our founding documents, which seem most likely to affect the safety and happiness of the people. On May 13, 2015, we the people opened a court of record in all 94 federal district courts under the unique case number 1776-1789-2015. The court now comes now through this information to review the record and restate our authority. Writ quo warranto, number 1. You can find a copy at powerofthecountysheriff.com. Originally filed on November 10, 2014, refiled on May 13, 2015, reminding our elected and appointed servants, particularly our judicial officers, that we the people have been providentially provided legal recourse to address the criminal conduct of peoples, of the persons themselves entrusted to dispense justice, and that the grand jury is the institution separate from the courts over whose functioning the courts do not preside. Thus, the people have the unbridled right by law and in law to impanel their own grand juries and present true bills of informations, indictments, writs, and presentments to a court of record, which is then required to commence judicial proceedings under common law. Our founding fathers, with foresight, grafted into the common law Fifth Amendment a buffer the people may rely upon for justice. When the public officials, including judges, go rogue, act in bad behavior, and criminally violate the law, that buffer being the common law grand jury, also known as We the People. 2. Writ mandamus to county sheriff. Find a copy at powerofthecountysheriff.com. dated May 20th, 2015, to inform and educate, thereby empower sheriffs and marshals concerning their constitutional duties, and clarifying that the county sheriff is a constitutional officer elected by the people, bound by oath as guardians of the people, of the people's unalienable rights secured by the Constitution. The United States Constitution and its capstone Bill of Rights is the law of the land, and all statutes and state constitutions repugnant to the United States Constitution are null and void. The duties, responsibilities, and authorities of the sheriff cannot be diminished by legislature, the courts, or state constitutions. When it comes to enforcing the law, i.e., the U.S. Constitution, the sheriff, being the chief law enforcement officer, answers to no one, not even the governor. Like any other elected official, the sheriff cannot be removed from office by another elected official. He can only be removed by the people at the ballot box, by recall, or by an indictment or presentment by a grand jury. 3. Writ mandamus to all state and federal judges, justices, and magistrates. Find a copy at powerofthecountysheriff.com. Dated May 23, 2015, concerning a final warning and counsel to the judiciary as to their bad behavior concerning their participation in the methodical destruction of the ordained government of the United States and their ability to repair damages the damage and saved our nation by simply obeying the law of the land, whereas failure to comply will be interpreted as sedition. 4. Writ mandamus to all federal and state elected appointed servants, martial law. Find a copy, powerofthecountysheriff.com. Dated May 27, 2015, concerning martial law conspiracy and its true purpose for America. 5. Writ mandamus to all federal and state elected and appointed officials. Reason behind gun control. Find a copy, powerofthecountysheriff.com. Dated May 29, 2015, concerning gun control conspiracy and its true purpose for America. 6. Writ mandamus to all federal and state elected and appointed servants. Terrorism in America. Find a copy, powerofthecountysheriff.com. Dated June 3, 2015. To expose the fascist tactics being used by tyrants that have infiltrated our government at all levels in an effort to enslave the sovereign people of America, classifying sovereign citizens, also known as the people, as terrorists. 7. Writ mandamus to all federal and state elected and appointed servants. Find a copy at powerofthecountysheriff.com, dated June 6, 2015. Exposing foreign and domestic tyrants posing as Americans that have infiltrated our government at all levels in a concerted effort to overthrow the 50 governments of the United States by seizing their seat of power, our federal city, also known as Washington, D.C. Thereby, these tyrants have covertly erected a system which has conspired vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations and through courts of fiction. 8. Writ mandamus to all governors. Find a copy, powerofthecountysheriff.com, dated July 10, 2015, commanding all governors to uphold their oath guaranteeing a Republican form of government, and shall forthwith act to protect each of the 50 United States, against invasion via martial law and gun confiscation through JADEL. 9. Writ mandamus to all U.S. Supreme Court justices. Find a copy, powerofthecountysheriff.com, dated July 20, 2015, to command all county, state, federal, and U.S. Supreme Court judges and clerks to perform their duty guaranteeing to every state in this union a Republican form of government and protecting each of them against invasion or vacate their office now. 2. Courts. Courts may be classified and divided according to several methods, the following being the more usual: courts of records and courts not of record. The former being those whose acts and judicial proceedings are enrolled or recorded for perpetual memory and testimony, and which have power to fine or imprison for contempt. Error lies to their judgment, and they generally possess a seal. Courts not of record are those of inferior dignity, which have no power to fine or imprison, and in which the proceedings are not enrolled or recorded. This is found in quite a few places. One of them is Irwin versus the U.S. And Higginger versus Davis, and quite a few other places. Inferior courts. In fact, de facto, courts are those whose jurisdiction is limited and special, and whose proceedings are not according to the course of common law, such as criminal courts, civil courts, admiralty courts, that proceed according to statutory law. Any court proceeding according to statutory law is not a court of record, which only proceeds according to common law. It is an inferior court. Ex parte Watkins, 3 Peter. Also, Shekinloth versus Bastamonoth. Superior courts, in fact, de jure, are courts of law. Are any duly constituted tribunal, that is the jury, administering the law of the state or nation, proceeding according to the course of common law, and governed by its rules and principles, as contrast with a court of equity. Court of law means court of common law, a court for the people. Quorum ipso regi, which is to say, before the king himself. The decision of a superior court may only be challenged in a court of appeal. The decisions of an inferior court are subject to collateral attack. In other words, in a superior court, one may sue an inferior court directly, rather than resorting to an appeal to an appellate court. Decisions of a court of record may not be appealed. It is binding on all other courts. However, no statutory or constitutional court, whether it be an appellate or supreme court, can second-guess the judgments of a court of record. The judgment of a court of record whose jurisdiction is final is as conclusive on all the world as the judgment of this court would be. It is as conclusive on this court as it is on other courts. It puts an end to inquiry concerning the fact by deciding it. Ex parte Watkins, 3 Peter, and again, Shenkloth versus Bustamanus. The Judicial Tribunal. A court of record is a judicial tribunal, jury, having attributes and exercising functions independently of the person of a magistrate designed generally to hold it, and proceeding according to the course of common law, its acts and proceedings being enrolled for a perpetual memorial. Jones versus Jones, and Ledworth versus Rosalowski. The People's Remedy. The grand jury is not merely an investigative body. It also serves as a protector of the citizens against arbitrary and oppressive governmental action, and must be both independent and informed. United States versus Calandria and Wood versus Georgia. Historically, this body has been regarded as a primary security to the innocent against hasty, malicious, and oppressive persecution. It serves the invaluable function in our society of standing between the accuser and the accused, whether the latter be an individual, minority group, or other, to determine whether a charge is founded upon reason or was dictated by an intimidating power or by malice and personal ill will. ID at 39082. Quoting United States versus Williams, rooted in long centuries of Anglo-American history, Van Hanna versus Lanach. The grand jury is mentioned in the Bill of Rights, but not mentioned in the body of the Constitution. It has not been textually assigned, therefore, to any of the branches described in the first three articles. It is a constitutional fixture in its own rights. In fact, the whole theory of its function is that it belongs to no branch of the institutional government, serving as a kind of buffer or referee between the government and the people. Although the grand jury normally operates, of course, in the courthouse and under judicial auspices, its institutional relationship with the judicial branch has traditionally been, so to speak, at arm's length. Judges' direct involvement in the functioning of a grand jury has generally been confined to the constitutive one of calling the grand jurors together and administrating their oaths of office. Because the grand jury is an institution separate from the courts over whose functioning the courts do not preside, we think it clear that as a general matter at least, no such supervisory judicial authority exists. We have insisted that the grand jury remain free to pursue its investigations, unhindered by external influence or supervision, so long as it does not trench upon the legitimate right of any of the witnesses called before it. Recognizing this tradition of independence, we have said that the Fifth Amendment constitutional guarantee presupposes an investigative body acting independently of either prosecuting attorney or judge. And again, that was United States versus Williams, and there was quite a few other quotes in there that U.S. versus Williams lays out. I didn't read them. Who summons the grand jury? Big question. The United States Supreme Court has concluded and supported by more than 800 years of history that the sheriff summons the juries and is also the chief conservator of the peace within his territorial jurisdiction. Hartson versus Langston. This is the message we need to get out to the sheriffs to understand he can go and call a grand jury and bring his case to the people, and the people will decide. That's an indictment, if they indict, of course. Okay, all states have statutes that provide for the state to call for the grand jury. History also provides for the coroner and for the people to call for the grand jury. The state cannot monopolize the calling of the grand jury, nor can the state stack the court with statutory grand juries that are de facto and do not proceed according to the law of the land. The first recording and authority of the grand jury is found in Magna Carta 61, whereas the people shall choose the grand jury, 25 people, who are bound with all their might to observe and to hold and cause to be observed the peace and liberties, so that if we or our judges or our bailiffs or any one of our officers shall be in anything be at fault towards anyone or shall have broken any one of the articles of peace, the four administrators shall repair us or petition the 25 to have that transgression redressed without delay. That's the Magna Carta. The people shall choose the grand jury. Subversion against the people of the United States of America. When judges execute a court order to arrest people because they are filing court papers challenging the jurisdiction of the court and due process violations because there was no indictment or that the grand jury was de facto, that judge is guilty of abuse of power and stands constitutionally in bad behavior. And when the sheriff and the marshals become aware of this and come to understand this, the judges should be arrested for abuse of power and denial of the rights under 18 U.S. Code 242. Any judge who does not comply with his oath to the Constitution for the United States wars against that Constitution and engages in acts that are in violation of the superior law of the land. The judge is engaged in acts of treason. Cooper versus Aaron. There is a general rule that a ministerial officer who acts wrongfully, although in good faith, is nevertheless liable in civil action and cannot claim the immunity of the sovereign. Cooper versus O'Connor. When a judge knows that he lacks jurisdiction or acts in the face or clearly of a clearly valid statute expressly depriving him of jurisdiction, judicial immunity is lost. Zeller versus Rankin. No man in this country is so high that he is above the law. No officer of the law may set that law at defiance with impunity. All the officers of the government, that from the highest to the lowest, are creatures of the law and are bound to obey it. It is the only supreme power in our system of government, and every man who, by accepting office, participates in its functions, is only the more strongly bound to submit to that supremacy and to observe the limitations which it imposes on the exercise of the authority which it gives. U.S. versus Lee. Conclusion. The grand jury is a constitutional fixture in its own right that belongs to no branch of institutional government, serving as a kind of buffer or referee between the government and the people, and is an institution separate from the courts over whose functioning the courts do not preside, acting independently of either prosecuting attorney or judge. We, the people, have the unalienable right to call and administrate the grand jury, and we have chosen to do so as the remedy to alter and institute new gods where necessary. And we, the people, have chosen to do this in a court of record, case number 1776-1789-2015. And we, the people, have chosen to call and administrate the grand jury as the role of prosecutor and King's Bench in a superior court until the jury is called for trial, whose decision will be final, and ignorance of the common law will not be excused. The court, October 14, 2015, signed by the grand jury foreman, and sealed with the United States, Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury Seal. Okay, so that's the paper. It's 6 pages, and again, if you wasn't paying attention earlier, you can find a copy of this. You can go to powerofthecountysheriff.com and go to the bottom, and you'll see this is number 10, Information to Judges. And also, or you can go to our website, Highlight Directory, I believe it is. Let me double-check that. Highlight Directory, come to the bottom left side, click on the Power of the Sheriff, come to the bottom of the page, and you'll find this paper. On this paper, this is the page we want to get the sheriffs to come to. This is the page that will educate them. These are all of the papers that we have filed, okay? And there's other information here also, but 1 through 10, we'll file 10 papers as of 14th, which is Wednesday. When we get this out, we will have filed 10 papers, plus, of course, we have filed habeas corpuses. And we have, we're going to be filing a lot more. Again, we're working on something right now. Hopefully next week we'll have it prepared. That will be going out to the Congress, U.S. Congress, and putting them on notice. And all of these papers, again, are not only mailed directly to the individuals of focus, but it is also faxed. I don't know that we're going to be able to mail a copy to all of the Congress. There's, 430 congressmen, I think. It could be 530, but I think it's 430. And then there's 100 senators. But I do know that they've been playing some games, and they threw a few extra congressmen in there and another Senate, and they gave to some, I think, the Philippines, they gave a congressman, and Washington, D.C., I think, now has a congressman. I mean, they're really just making these things up and just doing some crazy things, and in time, we the people will stop this. That's what we're doing here, and at some point in time, we're going to have that landslide. And we the people will finally take back our government. Okay, let's see. I'm just reading something here that someone had wrote. I don't think we have any questions. I don't know. Gary, have you gotten any questions? I haven't seen any questions come through, so I'm not aware of any unless you are. Or anybody else, Gerard, you might be aware. I think you get copies of that too. So, anyway, we are up pretty much very close to up to date on the habeas corpuses. We're really far behind. Some people have gotten angry with us and they stamped their feet and walked away because we didn't act quick enough. So, you know, maybe they don't belong with us. Maybe that's the only reason they came to be with us, because they have a case and they're not really interested in what we're really doing here. We're just trying to help people along the way, and it also empowers us by doing these cases. So it's sort of a handshake between the two. We're able to help somebody that is about to lose their home or lose their liberty or lose their children or even lose their parents. And so we have that opportunity through habeas corpus is to help them, and at the same time it helps to empower us. We have not really did a lot of follow-ups on a lot of the papers that we have already filed, and must be about six or seven of them. But we're in the process of doing that now. We're kind of behind on it, but we're catching up. And we have a lot of new things going on that's going to make us a lot more efficient. We've got a lot of different committees that are working on different things to help us to make us more efficient and to get us more information and collect a lot of data and also do research in order to write more cases and all kinds of things going on. But we are starting to get more efficient, and I think it's going to be much more obvious in the next week or two. We do apologize for not being able to move quick enough to get some of these cases out. We did talk about some of the CPS cases, the family court cases, that we thought that we'd be able to get them out within a month or so, and we actually have just about passed that month. Right now it's about a month, and we still haven't gotten them out. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But we're really getting ready to really push them up hard. One of the things we're going to definitely need is money, and people need to understand if they have a case that they want us to deal with and to get it out, that we need money to mail it. It costs $60, and we did post how we calculated that amount of money. So if people don't have the money, we're not going to reject. Maybe they got $5, or maybe they have nothing. That's fine. We're not going to reject their case. But it may take, those cases just may take a little longer to get out as we wait for some funding to get it out. We're always looking for funding. So anybody who wants to contribute to that, we really can use that. And again, anybody that has a case going out, you know, once it gets to the point when it's ready to be filed, if we don't have the money, it's just going to sit there until we have the money to file them. And maybe we'll be able to put out a couple of cases a week. Again, every case runs $60 minimum on the cost for the mailings. We do certified mailings. There's two sets of mailings. There's lots of people to be sent to and served. And then there's follow-up. So, and then there's a lot of paper to be, printed out, and envelopes and stamps and on. And we also fax everything. So they get it by fax and they get it by mail. So it takes money and it takes time, and we're doing the best we can. We are getting a lot more volunteers. We're getting a lot more office help, I understand, and people are being trained, and we do have some good people who know how a lot of these processes work now, and so we're becoming much more efficient. But again, if you have a case and you don't send money to help us to pay for the offsetting or the cost, it's going to sit there for a little while until we have that money. And of course, we'll be pushing out as many as we can. All right, that's about all the time I'm going to spend on those things. Does anyone else have anything? Gerard, do you got anything? Or Gary? Or
yeah, John, I've got something very interesting. We received an email in our questions box. Would you be interested in speaking at the 2016 National Sheriffs Association Annual Conference in June in Minneapolis, Minnesota, next year?
Mm-hmm.
You think this might be
definitely,
a chance?
Definitely, if I was invited, I would definitely would go out there, sure.
All right, so I've got the form, and I'll get it into your hands.
Okay, sounds good. Anything else out there?
There was a couple things, but most of them had to do with cases, and I don't want to get into that.
Well, no cases. We're not going to talk about any cases because we get lost on that. And look, I'd love to be able to help people with cases. We got a lot we can share, but everything is really up online here. Take our courses. We wrote a book on process and procedures, writing papers and all that stuff. It's up there. Go look for it. We got lots and lots of footnotes. You can download the footnotes. We got dictionaries. And we're also working with teaching people the paper and process for administrators. Anybody who's planning to be an administrator, they need to sign up with the IRC. and they need to get into the course. It's every Tuesday. We have a 1 hour school classroom type course. It's sort of like homeschooling because really we're teaching ourselves in this process. But anyway, that's every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here in this room. But if you're not an IRC member, you cannot get in. We will be watching for people. You have to sign in. We want to know who's coming into this course that we're teaching these people this. We want to know, make sure that they have a valid email and a valid telephone number. And those are the two major requirements in order to get into the IRC. Is that correct? Is there anything else, Gary, that...
well, they got to be a, they have to be a real person. Civics course.
They're right. They have to be
taking
the
civics course.
The civics course. And that civics course is extremely important. It really lays the foundation in order for you to receive everything else that we're really passing on up here. But we cannot get involved in teaching people how to do this or how to do that in court and different things. First of all, we're taking the time away from what we need to be doing, and that is saving America. That's number one. The other thing is the government likes to chase down people who are trying to tell people on how they can deal with the fiction. So we don't want to get lost in that either. So why get involved in another court battle? Anyway, that's where we're at. All right, if nobody else has anything, then we'll open up for Q&A. Let me ask, when I open up for Q&A, everybody, you know, retard yourself for about 15 or 20 seconds. Let's allow people who have never been in the queue, people who have tried, been trying to get into the queue and have been unable to, you know, been unsuccessful, or maybe new people. Let's give them 15 seconds. Let those people come into the queue first, and then everyone else come in about 15 seconds. So here we're going to go to Q&A. Okay, anybody that is new, has a question or comment, anybody that is hasn't been in the queue for quite some time, would like to ask a question or make a comment, or have been trying to, and we've been unable to get them. And again, one question, and, you know, we can go back and forth a little bit on that, but one question, and if you got something second, you'll have to come back into the queue. Also, no court cases. Okay, our first caller is Ann from South Carolina. Go right ahead, Ann. You got the mic. Ann, you've been unmuted. South Carolina, Ann. Okay, let me try it again.
Oh, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Great.
Go right ahead.
Okay. You know, you asked us to do affidavits of the anytime we did had a SWAT team come on us or something like that. I've done that, but I've also, the reason I'm asking that question is that I've also worked with someone else and we did truth affidavits. Have you ever heard a judge say something about an affidavit being a hearsay document?
Well, that's an absurd judge. He belongs certainly doesn't belong in America. No, I've never heard of that. It's
well, that,
a ridiculous
that's what
statement.
Threw me too, because you do it in the first position, the first person, on or about time, as factual as you are doing it. I've never heard that. Even when I was in being a legal secretary, I never heard that. So I was wondering,
right,
maybe...
The Supreme Court has ruled, and common law upholds, that an affidavit rules the court. It's truth. An affidavit unrebutted wins, okay? That's the
Good.
Law. That's the law of the land. And when someone makes a sworn statement, they better be telling the truth, because if they're lying or, you know, exaggerating, and believe me, someone's going to come up and say, hey, wait a second here, look at this here, this guy's lying, and something's going to come up. You're not going to get away with it. And so that's why an affidavit rules the court. And if people on the other side don't rebut them, well, why? How come they're not rebutting the affidavit? Well, probably because they'd have to lie or do something to rebut it, so they can't. So therefore, they lose. You see, at least on those positions, you start to get footings in the courts, and you start to see where the truth is. But,
well, so what
anyway.
You're saying is that the truth affidavit leads, and the other party has to rebut it, and by saying that it's hearsay is a supposed rebuttal?
Absolutely not. Saying that it's hearsay is just total ignorance and irrelevant
correct.
To the court. And any judge who rules in that fashion needs to be removed from the bench. He'd be in bad behavior. And that
good.
Would be a violation.
Family.
That would ultimately be a violation of due process there because he now just left the common law court and he went into places unknown. So at that point, that judge is susceptible actually to be arrested ultimately because that would be subversion.
Right, and aren't,
it's a lot of things, you know.
Aren't affidavits considered prima facie evidence?
Well, absolutely. All that's necessary for a prima facie case is an affidavit. Nothing else. You don't even have to write a paper. You could just write an affidavit, deliver it to the court. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And I swore to it right there. Let them rebut it. Okay?
All
that's
right.
it. That's all that is required. But, of course, they make a big thing. You got to have a lawyer. You got to have an attorney, of course, and you got to pay them a lot of money, and then you're probably not going to win, especially if you're going up against a corporation and, you know, all this other stuff. So
yeah. We're rounding the bend up to 5 minutes, John.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It was great. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, next person is... hold on a minute. Nobody hit those
buttons. I'd like to get their name and I'd like to get their state and name, John, while we're at it, if we can.
Okay, yes. All right. Next person is calling in from 1188. Phone number ending in 1188. Can you give us your
how
first
you doing,
name?
Guys?
Can you give us your first name and your state, please?
My name's Frank, and I'm in New York, upstate New York.
Frank from New York. You got that?
Yep, I have it.
Okay. Go ahead, Frank.
I'm new to the site, interested in the same thing you guys are, keeping, you know, these officials honest. And I just I noticed that there's not anyone in my county. I'm in Delaware County.
Yeah,
and
you're right. We don't have anybody, I don't think, in Delaware County there. And we have a couple of counties still that we don't have. And Delaware County, I think, is very mountainous, isn't it?
Yes, it's in the Catskills. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't want to bring up any court stuff, but, you know, I got some issues with some people up here that are just totally not playing by the rules. And, I want to do...
Well, they never play by the rules, not even their own rules, but go ahead.
No. But I just wanted to say that, you know, I'm up here in this area and, you know, I'm willing to help out and, you know, do whatever I need to do to support other people, like-minded individuals. I'm still doing a lot of reviewing of everything. You know, I've had some habeas corpus issues up here, and, you know, so that's how I kind of found you guys, and now I'm just doing a review of your processes and learning more about the grand jury, and I got to take the civics course. Like I said, I only came across it about a week ago, but I am, you know, a donator now, and I'm looking to learn
more. Go up to the committees on our page. Go up to highlight the committee there, and get involved. We have a lot of committees, and in the investigative response committee, has a lot of subcommittees. We do a lot of research, investigation. You know, we're putting all these things together now. Well, IRC is also there. You know, if you want to become an administrator, you need to join up with the IRC group, and then with the IRC group, you then join. Our Tuesday night lessons for, you know, we'll be teaching people the processes for being an administrator. Let me see what we called it. I forget what we named it. We were back and forth on trying to get a name on that particular thing, but I know we still have one now. Let's see. Where is it? Project. Jury administration training. That's what it is. Jury administration training.
Okay, I see it.
So that the purpose of this group, the jury administration training, is to prepare and educate the people to perform the duties as a jury administrator within their respective counties. This is a required course in order to fill a county administrator position. And so what we're working on, we've already organized the nation. We have unified common law grand juries in every single state. And then, of course, we have the unified United States common law grand jury, which binds us all together. And we're in every federal court, all 94 of them. Right now, we've filed the 10 papers in all these courts, plus we copy and send to all of the elected and quite a few appointed people also, both on the state and federal levels. And so we have 3,142 counties in America, and we need 4 administrators for each one of those counties, which we're training. And eventually, once we the people get back into the courts and take it back, those people will be responsible as a full-time job to administrate to the grand jury and the trial jury, give orientation and also advice and information and anything they need. Those are 4 administrators are the investigative body for the common law grand juries. Sometimes it's worth going longer than 5 minutes. So. But anyway, it's a very important position. It's something that we have to get the people. It's going to take about 15,000 people across America to get all these positions filled. And again, they are paid positions once we get in. We're going to be taking the work away from the judges and away from the prosecutors who have no business in there to pull and draw and orientate the juries.
Okay, well, I appreciate all your time, and I'm going to definitely look into it more, and looking forward to learning.
Yeah,
thanks.
You know, take a really good look at our front page, read the front page thoroughly, watch the videos, and then work from there, and look into the committees, go into our directory. You can call the different people from different committees, see what they're doing, see how you want to get involved. And we have a civics course, free civics course, 120-hour course. Everybody should be taking that.
Okay? Okay, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Frank. Okay. Next person, let's see, 0610 is 860 area code. Please give us your first name and your state.
Marina from Connecticut.
Marina?
Yeah.
From Connecticut. Okay, thank you. Go ahead,
Hi.
Marina.
Hi. Are you ready?
You've got the mic.
I have a $3 million lawsuit that was won already, so it's not in the court. My problem is the electric company that I sued and won refuses to pay. And I believe that there's racketeering in the lawsuit, so the probate judge, instead of passing on that restriction and executing the civil suit and turning it over to me, I believe it's racketeered, and I'm trying to get them to turn over the payment. The civil court judgment.
John, are we discussing a case?
I'm having a hard time understanding. I'm listening carefully. Go ahead, repeat what you just said, the last part of it.
Okay. I have a $3 million lawsuit that was won, and the electric company that I sued and won is refusing to pay the bill. And nobody in the state
of Connecticut. Well, you know, we can't get involved in cases on our Monday night program, but, bear in mind, all of these courts are, RICO on steroids. We have not been able to find a just court yet. We've been in the courts now 5 years plus, maybe 6 years now, and we have not been able to find a just court. We've been in a lot of courts. We've been in state courts, county courts. We've been in town courts, city courts, federal courts, and we haven't found a just court yet. So you have to fight for it. It's an uphill battle. But you can take, we have a lot of information on our website. We'll give you a lot of ideas and information on how you might be able to battle things. But the key thing is this: if you're trying to get restitution, if you're trying to get justice, it's an uphill battle. It's very difficult to do. But you're probably better off working to try to get the people back into the courts, which is what we're doing, bring justice, bring the true king back into the court. And then you can get justice. Then you can go to the grand jury, tell your story, and they can fix it.
Do you think grand jury is the way to go?
Oh, no doubt about it. It is the way that our founding fathers, and actually this was discovered, 1,400 years ago. We know at least in 1215 A.D. at bare minimum, that's when we saw the first grand jury in history. But common law had been around since about, as far as in England is concerned, and moving through those areas was about 400 or 500 A.D. And of course, it came to America. And,
so how do I get to the grand jury?
How what?
How do I start that process to get to the grand jury?
Well, we're working on getting common law grand juries into every courtroom in America. That's what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance. We have organized the entire nation. We have organized 50 unified state grand juries and one unified United States common law grand jury. And our only battle and our only focus and fight right now is in the federal courts, all 94 of them, in order to get the people back into power and authority. So that's what we're working on, and that's the only cases we're working on, with the exception of doing habeas corpus for people who are in jeopardy of losing their liberty, their children, their parents, their homes, and those kind of things. Other than that, any other thing or issue you have to deal with that you want to get justice on, you have to wait until we finally break into the courts and start to bring justice back into the courts. Then the grand juries and the trial juries will be reestablished in the counties across America, and then you'll be able to go see the grand jury and talk to them about your problem.
I was told to go to a U.S. Marshal or magistrate and demand a sheriff's sale for the remedy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Say that again.
I was sort
of coming in a little gobbled. I don't know. What are you coming in? Are you on? What are you on, a cell phone?
Yeah, I'm trying to talk. Is that better?
Well, good. Try it again, because I didn't understand what you said.
All right. I was told to go to a U.S. federal marshal judge, magistrate, and ask them to execute a sheriff's sale to get the remedy on it. Do you think that would work?
That sounds like some advice that you might want to follow up on. Go try that, see what happens.
Yeah, John, we're past 5 minutes on a forbidden topic.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Not getting into the court case. It's just working around the hem of it, so to speak.
Yeah, we're starting a bad precedent here.
Right. Okay, Marina.
Thank you very much.
And that sounds like good advice. Go talk to see what you can get there. You know, if you already got a judgment, you can execute it. And that's the place. That's the way to start.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Okay, Jeremy from Wisconsin. Go right ahead.
Hey, Jeremy from Wisconsin here. I just wanted to ask a couple questions as far as like our sheriffs are going. I ended up talking to the sheriff in my county here, and he definitely knows what's going on. He's been getting the memos and everything from the NLA. He was very familiar with what I was talking about, and he sounds like, you know, a good sheriff. Like, he knows what's up, and he wants to back the common law and bring justice back. Do we have any kind of listing or anything like that of the sheriffs that are backing us up as well as us backing them up?
Well, we're working on that. Matter of fact, one of the big things we're organizing, and a lot of people should get involved in this in their state, is we're working, I think we're going through the state coordinators to try to get the states to start to reorganize and to work towards making contact with the sheriffs in their states, making sure they get a copy of the Constitution, a copy of the jurist handbook that we wrote, and also the papers, and get them connected with National Liberty Alliance's website, so that they can come to understand their powers and authorities. And but we are hearing things, the stories like you just told us, little stories like that,
yep.
But they haven't necessarily reached directly out to us yet, but we will entertain any conversation with any sheriff at any time on anything. We'll assist them in any way we can. We've let them know through memos and through other things that we've written and filed in the courts. We've let them know that, look, if you got a situation and if you want to arrest a judge or just anyone and you're having a problem with the prosecutor, that prosecutor can't deny him. Go get your jury yourself. Go get the phone book out and call up 25 people. Have them meet you down at the courthouse. And if you want our assistance, we'll get someone in your state and your county to assist you in finding and pulling together a grand jury and also to orientate them, because someone's going to have to orientate the grand jury to prepare them to hear the case. And also, when they finish, someone needs to write the paper. And that's what we're training administrators for, to orientate the juries and also to write the necessary papers for these people for a grand jury. And we also want to be very, very sensitive to this. We can, you know, when you got the administrators, you can't put your own will into what you want to write on that paper. This is the will of the grand jury, and we cannot tamper with that grand jury. We cannot move the, oh, I think you mean this instead of that. No, we can't do, we have to express what it is that they want to express. But, you know, in order for them to focus in on the right place to express the right things, we do have to spend a little time with them, give them a little bit of an orientation about American history and about the history of the grand jury and the sheriff and the power and the authority of the people and what their job and authority is as a jurist, particularly in this case grand juries, and that they must have a sense to operate and think and respond with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy in their decision-making. And
John,
so you get one day with that, you know.
Did I hear you say that he should call up 25 people in the phone book and take his own grand jury into the courthouse?
The sheriff should do that if he wants, sure.
Oh, the sheriff. Okay. All right, I got you.
Yeah.
So can I speak to the sheriff a little bit when you're done? Look, we have
some sheriffs. You want to pipe in now? Go ahead.
Yeah. If you want, you said go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah, pipe in now. Yeah.
Look, we have some sheriffs that are very sympathetic, and they're actually chomping at the bit to do something to bring us into the, actually bring us into the court and maybe even arrest the judge if he resists. The only trouble is we can't do that until he has support in his county. You can't let the sheriff go up that hill with his sword out and nobody's behind him. So what we're asking like you to do in your county is, look, if you've got a sheriff that is starting to understand his power and his authority and common law, now it's up to you to go advertise that to some of the conservative groups, the Tea Party groups, the people that have been hurt by the court system, and let them just build up support in his county, because the sheriff is a political animal. He needs people to elect him, and that's what they understand. And any sheriff that comes out against any public official, look, they're going to put so much pressure on that guy. You better have people behind him. So we've been actually holding a few of the sheriffs off, because even though they may want to do it, they're not ready in their county yet. And so it's very important to protect him. We're not advertising who they are because it's too soon. We don't want to look at the people whose sheriff it is. They know who he is. He's talking to them when they come see him face to face. But he's not getting up on the 6 o'clock news and yelling this. It's not time for that yet. What we need to do is we need to build the support up so then we can go ahead and bring our grand juries in. Look, we're very close, and it's only going to take one county. But we're going to make sure when we do it that we don't just run in there and do it without having any plan A, B, and C. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
It has to be done. There's a certain strategy, and we don't want to blow his cover, so to speak, too soon, because he's got enemies. Believe me, he has enemies. So you're going to want to make sure that you can control those enemies, because Those enemies that are his enemies, guess what? They're public political officials too. And so it's up to you to get the people screaming at them so that they're scared to move. You know, any court case that we've had good results in, you know what gives us the good results almost as much as anything else we do is the fact that people show up and they see 20, 30, 40. My goodness, if you get 100 people in a courthouse on a case, the judge doesn't even know where the bathroom is anymore. So you gotta take these things and sort of put them into place. You know, there was another guy in the beginning. He says, how do we know the sheriff is getting these things? You know, who's getting this, that? You should know that. You should go talk to him. You should put your face behind your name and go and sit with him and talk to him. And if he says he didn't get them, look at, they're on the site. Print them out. Hand them to him. You know what I mean? Start developing these guys. Start having a dialogue with them. It's
yeah,
very,
I had a good,
important.
Like, hour and a half long conversation with the sheriff in my county, and like he was very knowledgeable. He understood all of these things, and you know, I wanted to let him know too that, you know, hey, we support you in that. You know, we want justice back in our courts.
Look, at we support him nationwide, but he needs the people in his county and the surrounding counties because he's an elected official, and they'll make sure he doesn't get back in there. And I'm also telling people, look, if you have a sheriff that is completely against it, he's destroyed in his mind like so many people are,
mm-hmm.
start campaigning against him. Put somebody up against him. You know, these guys get elected every 4 years, generally speaking.
Yep.
I mean, there may be three in some other states. But
two and some.
Yeah, two and some. Two or four. So guess what? 2 years is not that long to get rid of a sheriff. Can you imagine a sheriff running on a common law ticket, where not a ticket but a platform? Hey, no injured party, no crime. I'm not gonna enforce these money making statutes that are unconstitutional. I can't imagine not everybody pulling his lever. So
right.
Those are just some suggestions I give to you. You know, everybody has to hit the streets. We need to be in the street. We need to be talking to our sheriff, and we need to be building support, just like the Tea Parties did. But you see, the trouble with the Tea Parties is they wanted to support, but they had nothing to do. They had no method of operation. They had no plan. They really didn't know how to channel that excitement and that power and that authority. They didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know they had authority. So we know. So what people have to do is they have to sing our song out there, and they have to get everybody singing it. And at a certain point, you reach this critical mass, and you're going to know when you got enough people. You got a couple hundred people that are really committed, and they show up. It doesn't take many people to take over a county, too. By the way, you know, look, you're being run by 50 people in your county. Our key politicians, all you got to do is get rid of them 50 people, control those 50 people if you don't get rid of them. Let them be scared of the people, and they'll be good politicians, and it's only 50 people in a county.
Right. Well, some counties are smaller than that, so it's probably not even that many.
Absolutely, and that's why I believe that the smaller counties and maybe some of the western states and stuff is where we're going to get in the court first. I don't care where we get in the court, it's a domino effect. So. Those are
Which
very
is kind of what
important.
I'm doing. I'm kind
Ron,
of scoping the area,
Ron,
trying
Ron,
to find
Ron.
Where
yeah,
that court might be.
Yeah, this is a conversation, be. Gary. Hang on there. Go ahead, Jeremy.
I just had one quick question. I see we're getting to the end of that there. But as far as like enforceability goes, you know, we're really relying on the sheriffs to be able to enforce like these writs of habeas corpus and so on and so forth. Correct?
Well, yeah, you know, the key thing is that the authority of the court in itself and the process and procedure, a habeas corpus has never been just ignored, ever, in the history of the United States. So for them to try to ignore it, and that's what they do in the beginning, but then they try to deal with it, and they try to fix it, and then they get themselves in more trouble. And we're in the process of really going out there to start, putting some pressure on some of these things now. But generally speaking, when push comes to shove, at the end of the day, they got to do something, and they can't just ignore a habeas corpus. They just can't do it. It's
right.
It's a process on itself. It is the fundamental, the found. It is the power of really due process of making sure you get it. So,
right.
All right. Well, we appreciate the call. Thanks. And,
yeah, thank you.
You know. Okay,
that's
let's go to the next caller. Thank you. Jay from North Carolina. Is that you, Jay?
Yes, this is Jay from North Carolina.
How you doing, Jay?
Hey, the first thing I wanted to say was Frank from New York, you gotta quit calling them officials. That's the first step. They're our public servants. They're the maids and the butlers. They're your employees. Anyway, he wanted to know how to deal with the officials. So
yeah, we can call them the best word. I like the word servants. So
public servants.
Yep.
Public servants. That's exactly what they are. So
by the way, Gerard, hang on one second, Gerard. Hang on a second, Jay. Gerard, I may go dark in this minute. I got my headset's going dead, so I'm going to change it.
Right,
if I don't respond, you respond. But yeah, Jay, continue.
Okay, well, I just wanted to I was on the Monday night call last week, and they were talking about you guys going national. And I just wanted to bring up the fact that that website, Freedom Phoenix, had that link on their website to translate every word on the page. And I just wanted to refresh your memory on that. I don't have enough time to research that. But
yeah,
if we were going to
Why don't you connect with me, and I'll try to connect you with someone else. So just connect with me with this information. What was the website?
Freedom's Phoenix.
Freedom Phoenix. Phoenix.
Yeah, but the website. The website has to be developed with that in mind.
Right. Well, I don't know how they do it, and I don't know, but there is a contact info on Freedom's Phoenix, and we've had him on the on our collective consciousness call for a guest speaker one night, and he loved to work with people. I think both websites, I mean, us and him are a perfect match, but if I think we should try to get that on there just on the site anyway, even if we don't go national, because
you mean international, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Look, we're in just the infancy of this. We have a committee of a few people working on actually do some things in Spanish particularly, but also working with other English-speaking countries. And just getting the committee going, starting to prepare, also starting to accept these people into the website. But we're not really completely ready to accept this. I'm going to have to pull a meeting together and talk with, our technical guy and with a few others and also the national leaders and see, what kind of a target we can be looking at concerning trying to start to make some moves where we'll be able to receive certain, countries. I know I did a lot of research way back on, I think, at least six or more countries, and I found a lot of them already were common law countries and that they were already broken up in counties or boroughs. And so the whole thing is they're kind of, positions that we can really receive them into our site, but it has a lot to do with a lot of other things. We're kind of outgrowing the platform that we've got. We're kind of outgrowing that. So we're going to work on a lot of technical things and see how far we can go and when we can go. I don't know what the answers to that is yet, but meanwhile, we are researching. We do have committees working to try to prepare for this and go international.
Okay, well, Gary asked me to email somebody, and you know my situation. I mean, I'm going to be driving till 2 in the morning tonight and then deliver and then get up and drive to,
I'll look for this website, and when you get a chance, follow up with me on it,
Yeah, I've been trying to call you and Gerard this week and haven't been able to get a hold of either one of you.
Okay, yeah.
And Gerard, your mailbox is full.
My
phone is down for now, Jay. I should have a new phone coming this week.
Okay.
Are you calling me on my cell, or you were calling me on a 233 number or Skype or what?
I don't know. It's the number I always call you on.
Okay.
I have it programmed in my phone.
Yeah.
I don't have the time to research it, but I just wanted to re-mention that again so that somebody could look into that. And Okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Okay, our next caller is Laura from Oregon. How you doing, Laura?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I heard that the NLA was particularly interested in reaching out to the sheriff in Douglas County, Oregon.
That's a possibility, but that's something we should discuss privately.
Okay, well, I have somebody, so I'm just wondering, should I find out when maybe Gary is available? I have somebody in the county who knows him, and she can collect more people, and maybe we can...
Yeah, let's try to get a hold of Gary on this, or Gerard, or even me. You know, we have a secretary now, and my calls roll over. If I don't answer the calls now, they roll over to the secretary, and sometimes she can't answer them either. So, you know, she's not 100% in front of a computer either. But at least the phone calls are being answered, and especially important things like what you're talking about right now, she could definitely try to work the connection to make sure that we get talking. So, and Gerard can do the same thing, and Gary. So, but, yeah, we are looking potentially for someone out there, but we don't want to discuss it at the moment, not here on the Monday night call.
But look, she can still approach him, make sure he's reading our stuff, get him whatever he needs. I mean, you could make the contact. You know,
well,
when's
a good time to do this? I mean, when can I call? When's somebody going to be available so we can make the connection and talk about it?
Well, we would have to, if we talk with the sheriff directly, it would be an appointment so that we make sure we don't miss his call. But, you could try, the best time to get me at this point, at least for the next week, is very late in the afternoon or early in the evening. And after the next week, I'll be more available during the day. But that's just the way my schedule is at the moment. But again, if you roll over to the secretary, she has ways to get a hold of me, and then we can make sure we connect and talk. But again, you could talk to Gerard about this. You could also talk with Gary about this because he knows what this situation is all about out there. And so anyway, okay?
Hey, Laura? Laura?
Yeah.
I have your cell number. I think that's the only way I can get a hold of you. But I'll text you another number that you can get me on for now because my cell phone's down and I'm waiting for another one to come, and it's a contract. It's a pain in the neck. So I have a number that you can call and get me directly. And I think last time I talked to you, I said I forgot to do that. I don't think I gave it to you, did I?
No, you didn't. I just, I really want to maybe do this or pursue this sooner rather than later. I know that they're going to use that particular situation to do gun grabbing here in the state.
Yeah. Well, they're getting desperate, and it is kind of coming to a head, so we got to keep moving. You know, we're coming to a head, and they're trying to bring it to a head, so there's a race on, no doubt about it.
Well, I'm busy Wednesday at 6, but any other time I'm open. So if you want to text me and just let me know when's a good time, and I can three-way with this other lady, and we can talk about it.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, try to make the connection. Probably have a better shot at connecting with Gary or with Gerard. But again, now things are getting a little better.
Okay, that's all I had.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Laura.
Tonight.
Okay, our next caller, Mr. Black, 412. Go right ahead. You got the mic.
Yes, how are you doing this evening? Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. Go right ahead. What's your first name?
Lance.
Lance. Go right ahead, Lance.
Okay. Hey, I wanted to ask a question. What is it, like 5 minutes?
Look, if we got an interesting topic, especially when we're talking about the sheriff and those kind of things, we don't want to cut it short and we'll spend the time, but it depends on, we're here to educate, so sometimes a conversation could go for a little while,
okay.
What's your question or your comment?
Well, my question is, I wanted to, I heard you speak before about there's a due process violation, like in the state court, you can file a due process violation in the federal court. Does that remove that crooked state court case over to the federal court? Does it put, like,
Well, we don't want to talk about court cases, but I'll give you a general, just a quick response to that. And again, you know, you do these things, there's a lot more you need to know than to just know this, because you have to know how to deal with the court, to deal with the judge, and deal with what's going on and the jurisdiction. You have to understand the jurisdiction. You have to know how to change the jurisdiction and apply the pressure. But look, once they violate your due process in a courtroom, and that just became a federal offense because due process is protected under the Fifth Amendment, and so therefore now it must go into a federal court. But it's a whole different case now because now you're going after those individuals that violated your due process. Your case continues in that court, and then you, of course, deal with different individuals if it's the judge or whoever. So that's a general idea. But now you need an education and on how to hold your court, get it to where you need to get it, and hold it. But, you know, we want to really focus in on the work at hand, and that is to get the grand juries and the trial juries, the common law grand juries and trial juries, into the courtrooms and get the people to control that process as administrators, which is what we're doing, is building administrations across the nation in every single county. So that's where the real power and the authority of people are. Once we get there, then everyone can get justice because everyone can go to their grand jury and tell their story. And if it's a violation from the government or an official, which is the government, then, yeah, we can fix it and repair it. And if you had a bad situation where a judge violated your unalienable rights and you've lost your position and footing in the court because of that, you know, the grand jury can repair that. They can fix that. So that's what everybody should be working together to get the people, we the people, to get back into the courts, to control those courts as far as administrating to the juries, to make sure we have not statutory juries, but de jure, common law, grand juries. That's what we need, and trial juries. So that's where we got it. That's the work that you should be doing. You can look at, there is no statute of limitations in common law. So any case you got going, don't worry about it running out. You can always go back. But, you know, I tell people what they really need to do is to help we the people work with us to get into the courts, to get the process going, and then you can, you know, resurrect your case. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, let's go to our next caller. Tana, how you doing? From Oklahoma.
Hey, John. How are you doing?
Good, good. And yourself?
I'm all right. Hey, with Carl Lentz and Bill Thornton, can we not see eye to eye enough with them to maybe have them help us out with some of our court cases and with the IRC on the end of, you know, kind of helping our neighbors as we go along?
Yeah,
this problem?
If they're... Yeah, look, if they want to work with us, we're definitely open. It's been a while since I spoke with Bill Thornton, but we've spoken to him, and other people have spoken to him recently and gotten some messages back about what he's doing and thinking about what we're doing. And they're more than welcome to get more involved and to actually join with us, to work with us. But, you know, we're not a group. We're not an organization. You know, National Liberty Alliance is a facilitator for communications, knowledge, education, organization, and you know, just teaching the people and assisting people to organize and be prepared to take control of the courts in their own county. So that's what National Liberty Alliance is. Now, the people that we're working with to do this are we the people. They're not a group. They're not an organization. They are we the people. These are the people that need to get in and take control in their counties and make sure that justice returns back to the court. And, of course, they need to be educated to do it correctly and right. Otherwise, we'll be right back to square one. So as long as we have other people that maybe can really give us a lot of assistance because they have great knowledge, as long as they first come to understand what it is that we're doing and then to see how we can possibly work together and to see if that it could be made, if it could happen. Because we can't lose track and focus of where we're going. But, of course, these people, you know, they have good minds in the areas that they've been working. As a matter of fact, Bill Thornton is a, you know, as far as, you know, really a huge individual for us. We're standing on his shoulders with a lot of the stuff that we're doing. We learned from him. And so he has been, whether he realized it or not, a great mentor to us. But we have taken different directions in different ways. I think things that he hasn't seen, and I'm sure if he spent time looking or communicating with us or anybody in National Liberty Alliance concerning these things and gets a little educated, I think he'll understand and agree. But maybe he could also help and give us some advice and also make some corrections, because we're not perfect either, so we could have errors here or there. And when we find them, we fix them. So, but anyway, you know, however we can work with them, we definitely would.
What kind of steps could we take to initiate that as the people, even not as necessarily the NLA community, but for that side of us that offers that help? What could we do to kind of initiate that, to kind of bring that together?
Yeah, I don't really know, because I don't think in those terms or thinking, you know, I don't think of individuals trying to get this person or that person. You know, look, we made connections with Sheriff Mack. We knew Sheriff Mack from before, and there was some certain interest, and people made connections, and we did certain things. But, you know, look, at unless they're ready to really say, well, okay, let me lay aside my thinking and what I'm doing to really understand what these people are doing, meaning we, the people here at National Liberty Alliance, creating the administrations for the grand jury and the trial juries, you know, if they really look to see, and they got the education already to be able to see this quickly, what we're doing. They just need to understand what we're doing. So they're going to have to investigate, look at our pages, watch the videos, read some stuff, and maybe even listen to some of our Monday calls. And once it clicks, it'll click fast for those guys. And if they feel there's a way that they can work to help we, the people, to save America, we're definitely game for that. But we don't go to chase individuals or anything. We want the people, and that's where we're at. Just like they did, I'm sure that a lot of what they're doing also, you know, they're educating and doing things. But we're just out there trying to get, you know, the people to get involved, to get re-educated, and to step up in their counties and take control and save the nation.
Right, so, right.
And you know, Bill Thornton and anyone else and myself, we're just one person. And we're no different, and it's all what's happening in my county. I mean, yeah, we're working to facilitate here nationally, but everyone really, when it boils down to, is that, you know, we're not interested in being national figures or anything. We're interested in really getting people down where the rubber meets the road in their county and fixing the problem right there at the ground, grassroots level.
Right.
So I don't know how that could happen, but, you know, who knows what can happen, and we'll go with the flow, you know?
Right, right. Well, if there was any intentional way for an individual to do that, I mean, anything that people out here may know or have talked to some of those guys, I mean, right. Maybe just...
Well, bear in mind, you know, I don't think in those terms, because this isn't about personalities or anything, and that includes me too. This is not about personalities. It's really about just getting the message. And the message we're really trying to get out is the message of our founding fathers, which they have discovered, particularly Jefferson had discovered and shared with the other founding fathers, and they all agreed, you know. And they created this great republic with common law, and they understood the justice of the courts and how it should run. And that's why they very specifically set it in motion the way they did. Look at the way they lock things down. People don't realize how powerful. When you look at our founding documents collectively, you look at the Bill of Rights, you look at the Declaration of Independence, and then, of course, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights is part of that, of course. And you put it all together, it's remarkable. It's just remarkable. And people see the weakness, and alone you may see a weakness in the Constitution. Alone you may see a weakness here or there, but collectively, you know, you can't interpret the Constitution without being interpreted by the Bill of Rights. That's the capstone, you see? And that's why Jefferson said the people need this Bill of Rights. They have to have it. And we get it. We got it. Now, of course, we fell asleep, and that's our problem. It's time to wake up.
Right. And I definitely didn't mean to say that we need certain people to be heroes or anything, but they have great minds, you know, and I thought, maybe if there was a little bit of prodding, like, hey, check this out, you know, what do you think, what can you do to contribute, what do you see here, that sort of thing. That's all kind of like that.
They'd have to, you know, again, they'd have to come up with the vision of saying, wait, you know, I can do something here, and there's a good idea, and I'd like to work with these people, and here's what I can contribute. And yeah, look, we got committees. We got so many things going on now, and it's all happening in the committee, really. And we can use a lot of help in there, because we want people to get in and get active. We want everyone to get active. Everybody should be rolling up their sleeves and getting down and into the grassroots, and let's get it done. And that's why we're working, 24/7 to really prepare the administrators. You know, this is what it's all about. Everything we're doing is really to educate, to prepare people to be administrators in the courts. You know, that's what it is. And we definitely need advisors and different things, because things are going to come up as time goes on. And people who've done the research and have the knowledge, you know, we want it.
Right. One other quick thing, and I'll let you go. I just want to throw out the idea one more time that maybe we do position emails, since we have a lot of changes, rather than just the email for each individual. That way we have control of the contact, say a Skype number or an email for national coordinator or for state coordinator.
Yeah, we can't give out emails, because they have the crawlers that go through, people, there's all kinds of people out there with crawlers too, and they strip out the emails, and next thing you know, you're on a BS list, and you get all this junk mail. That's where a lot of this stuff comes from too, because your email was, taken off of a website or something. So we don't want to do. Also, there are people without scruples, okay? And they'll come on and they'll say, "Oh, look at all these emails," and they'll start collecting them, and they'll try to get people to follow them, and they're sending them emails and maybe even saying, sending out negative things about what we're doing and all of this stuff.
Absolutely,
but you know
that's
what
I've been running into.
The other reason why we really focus in on phone numbers is because, really, you could send out all the emails in the world. You might think you have 100,000 people following you and stuff, and you turn around when it's time to charge, and nobody's behind you. So who knows who's reading what or what's really doing anything. The phone is the key. We need personal contact.
We're at 10 minutes now.
Since we're spread all over the place, personal contact is the phone. That's what we want.
Right, and I just meant I've been running into some of that stuff and losing control of, like, certain things on Facebook, that sort of thing, negative feedback. And I just meant, like, Oklahoma State coordinator email instead of my email. That way you could have control of it if I ever swapped out with somebody else. That's all.
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand, but we just want to be very careful with emails. So we've had people without scruples that have come in, and they've had access to sensitive information,
and
they went a different direction. They're violating anything that's honorable,
Right. I'm saying, to protect against that, you could have an email controlled by the NLA for each position. And that way, no matter who you hand it to, you could always take it back. That's what I meant. Not sharing it, but like you just have an email for my position instead of Tanner at National Liberty Alliance. It would be Oklahoma State Coordinator at National Liberty Alliance. That way you always have control and access to see everything. But anyway,
I yield. Well, that's true. We could do something like that. But I don't know. But we don't want to organize so greatly to that positioning because really what we're really trying to do is, look at. At some point in time, NLA must decrease and the people must increase, and that's the key to what we're doing. We're not here to lead people forever or down the road with playing the Pied Piper or something. No, we're just trying to save the nation. We've discovered it. We want to share it. We want to educate, and then we want to be – people need us for advisors. We're going to be here for that too. But the important thing is for the people to be focusing in their courts, in their counties, and let's take back the nation. And also, their federal courts within the federal district, which is usually a collection of numerous counties, so there should be that relationship. All right. Appreciate the call, Tanner. Thanks.
That was a good thought.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, hey, Gerard, you want to take over? Gerard?
Yes. I got you.
Okay,
here.
You push the button. I'm not going to push.
Right.
I'm changing my headset meanwhile, but go ahead.
Okay, next question is Ollie from Colorado.
Hello, Gerard. Hey, yes.
Yes.
Hey, Gerard, I finally got a meeting with my county sheriff last week. It was a long process, and we finally got 30 minutes with him, 30 minutes plus five. I got Lori and Max, Colorado directors, up here, and we had a very informal, friendly meeting, and we hit him with a lot of stuff. Now, he is very articulate. He's done Fox interviews. He does a lot of local TV interviews. Some of his issues are illegals. He's got a detention center full of them. Gun laws. The Sheriff's Association here in Colorado has got a lawsuit against Colorado for the gun laws they passed. But, like I say, we're hitting with a lot of stuff, and our 30 minutes was up, and we walked out, and he told the secretary, hold up my 9:30 for 5 minutes. Okay, like I said, he's very articulate, and he sat there and talked for 5 minutes. And it just, you know, some simple things dawned on me what was going on. You know, the Constitution is based upon common law, and it is written in common law language. Now, most of us here, we've gone through a long step-by-step process where we understand habeas corpus and the common law grand jury. But these sheriffs, what language do they speak in? They speak in statutes, penal codes, lawsuits, politics, to enforce Constitution of these statutes, it's impossible. These statutes weren't written to enforce the Constitution. Now, one thing the sheriffs understand is the Second Amendment. You know, they know how to handle that because they can identify with it and connect with it. But one thing, you know, and he's sitting there talking, and these sheriffs out here, They have all been studying constitutions due to the situation out here. They're fighting the EPA, the BLM, and the Forest Service. They're trying to learn the Constitution and their state's Constitution. But one thing I got from him, he sort of hinted that he didn't see the common law grand jury in either Constitution, in the U.S. Constitution or the Colorado Constitution. So, you know, it just dawned on me. I've been friends with him on Facebook for, you know, almost a year, and I know how he thinks. But to actually hear him talk and give a 5-minute talk,
let me just interrupt you for a second. First of all, the common law grand jury is not in the Constitution; it's in the Bill of Rights. Let him read U.S. versus Williams. That's what he says. He says,
yeah.
"Look, it rises out of the people, and therefore it is not a branch of any of the other branches of government." He needs to understand that whole due process thing is something, once he gets it, he can get his head around it as much as the Second Amendment, because it's pretty cut and dried once you finally understand it, that, you know, it's the people who have to rule on the people, not the judges. Those judges were not meant to be chancery kings. It's supposed to be your peers that take your liberty away if you deserve it. Not the judge. That needs to be the jury. I mean, that's a really simple thing. How can you have an official, and that's what he thinks he is, an official, and rule on the state or rule on a people, a person who he's working for, who he's supposed to be protecting their rights? You know, they got the whole system turned on its head. It's not that, you know, it's very hard to see until you see it. You know what I mean? I mean, you have to draw him that picture. You know, look, invite these guys to our meetings, too. Let them listen, because it's a slow process, but they'll get it if they read. I mean, they'll hear, you know, look, read Common Law by Brent Winters. You got to be, you know, it helps if they like to read. Not everybody likes to read. But the guys that like to read will get it quicker because they can go pour over the stuff and they'll get it. So, I mean, that's the best advice I can give you as far as that. And you're right. They're very focused on the penal law and the statutes. And, you know, we sat in front of a prosecutor who was a judge who was then a prosecutor, and all he wanted to know is whether or not the particular thing we were complaining about with an elected official, if he had a statute against it, which is a total bogus way of dealing with a public official. You don't need a statute if somebody does misprison of treason, there's no statute for that. You know what I mean? If you abuse your office, that's a plain Jane type thing. You don't need section 401(c)-5 to tell you that you can prosecute that, you know?
Yeah. Well, see, it's hard to get their mind wrapped around the fact that people in their county can jump up and start taking control, you know? I think one of the things that will instigate that is good habeas corpus, you know, where they see how much power the people has. But of course, every sheriff would be different, but I know now what I need to do with mine. I need to start edging him on Facebook, educating him on common law. You know what I'm saying? I get his mind wrapped around common law instead of statutes. It's simple as that.
Yeah, and look at everybody that gets into politics, that gets into an office, the biggest thought there is that the people are stupid and we need to tell them what to do. And I'm sorry, but that's exactly what goes on. They think that we're too stupid to control ourselves. And they need to tell us what to do, and it's unfortunate. You know, we have to take our position back. So I understand, Ollie, what you're up against, but you know what? You're doing the right thing. Keep working on it, and just have him. You know, look at when he. If he wants to have a discussion with somebody, you know, set it up. I mean, with the people in your state, even with the national, if you want. I mean, when he's ready, if he's ready. If you got any questions that you can't answer, you know what I mean, which you probably can answer 99.9% of them, you can certainly send them upstairs, and we're willing to answer them. You know, if he gets talking, and you could sit with him and bring them around to some of the other liberty groups and stuff, but you got to get this common law thing into him. I mean, he has to understand, like you said, the habeas corpus is going to help because it's going to take it out of the state's hands and bring it into the federal, and he's going to understand that separation then. But that's pretty good. Anything else? I want to move on before we get going too much.
Yeah, just
you're only having one. They're having one question per caller.
He wants to get things going and do those things, but we just need to take him down the right steps and get him in that direction.
Yep. All right. That's all. Well, keep working on it. Okay. I'm going to move to the next caller, who is New York Michael.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, yeah, this is Watchdog from Buffalo, New York, Mike. I want to give you guys a caveat. John earlier was talking about affidavits, and he said that an affidavit could be, it's not hearsay. Well, that's not true, because an affidavit, in order for it not to be hearsay, the person who wrote the affidavit must be present in the courtroom during the trial to be cross-examined on the facts that are contained within. So be very, very careful, and I would suggest to do some research on that before you just walk in there and assume that an affidavit from a party who's not there will be treated as not being hearsay.
Well, as far as the judge is concerned.
Let me just comment on that there, because.
Yeah, go ahead. I know what you're going to say.
It's rebutted, of course. Look at, and you're absolutely right. There's got to be, look at, you write an affidavit, the other side needs to write an affidavit rebutting that, then you go back and forth. That's where your conversation really, really belongs. And it needs to be under sworn statements, and that's what an affidavit is. If it's unrebutted, it stands as truth and it rules the court. End of subject. That's common law. Actually, it's also their law, too, working in the chancery courts. But they don't even hold up to their own court rules and processes. They just don't. But Yeah. So if you're going to go, you're looking, you're talking really at the trial now. But most cases don't need a trial, okay? Just the paperwork itself going back and forth can conclude the case depending, you know, on how it goes, where it goes, and how people want to deal with the case. If they want to deal with it by having a one jurist come in and make a decision, they can get a court case done very quickly, but the judge must rule under the process and the procedures of common law. And he can't go outside the criteria of American jurisprudence. And as long as he's operating within that realm, then his decisions are going to be right on and correct. And of course, there's an appeal process there. Now, if you go right into having a full jury, then that's a whole different process now, but their decision is final. But, if you go into a courtroom and you're bringing in witnesses and you bring in affidavits, you're right, there has to be the ability to, argue the case or rebut it, and that's the point. They need to rebut it. So, yes, they have to be there to answer, because that you're talking about the trial at that point. But generally, often, the paperwork in itself is the trial.
Right.
Well, there's another point. If you have an affidavit written as evidence, and you get down to a trial, and they didn't rebut that affidavit, and they didn't put down to subpoena that person to court, guess what? That's their problem. They're supposed to subpoena that person in if they want to cross-examine them. So an affidavit, if it's unrebutted, is going to stand as truth. And if they want to challenge it, then before trial, they got to tell that person, you need to show up that day because we're going to question you on your affidavit. If they don't do that, then that affidavit stands. They had an opportunity to rebut it, and they did not. Okay?
But if it's your case, it's your witness. So it's up to you to subpoena that witness into the courtroom, not them. Am I correct?
When you come in as the plaintiff, okay, it's your case. You're coming in, let's say it's a contract case. You're bringing up your contract. You're bringing up your affidavits, and everything's there. The other side doesn't do anything. They're dead in the water. It's done. They have nothing. Okay, they got to do something. And they hearsay is not something. When a lawyer comes in on behalf of an individual and writes a paper and makes an affidavit that they call it an affidavit on behalf of their client, that is hearsay. That doesn't hold the water. It doesn't mean anything. And unfortunately, those things do rule their courts, and that's the problem. So, look, if they got to respond. They don't respond, they lose out.
But he's right. If it's your case and you got a witness with an affidavit, I think you want to be sure that that witness shows up at court in case somebody wants to cross-examine.
Well, that's if you're moving into a trial and you get into a jury. Look, if it's all on paper, which, you know, most cases, as far as a case is concerned, when a judge makes a ruling on a case, when he does it appropriately, it is called equity. And, equity court in America for the first time in history is under common law. Equity court, when you go into and look up equity courts and you look into the processes of things through Black's law and history, you'll find that they often run under chancery. But in America, we continued with an equity court where a single judge, one jurist would be able to come in and make the decision on the case. And if you got a contract case or something of that nature, cut and dry, it's a very quick process. These people go for years on end with cases when there's no need to go on for years on end. Look at 30 days back and forth, let the conversations go on paper. Once it's done, you make a ruling and you move on. It's that simple. You don't even need to call anybody into the courtroom for any purpose when you have a single jurist there who's a judge acting and making decisions according to American jurisprudence. So that's very simple. And the process is necessary, by the way, because a lot of cases don't need to go to a jury.
I had a small claims case, and I had an affidavit from a witness, a worker, that testified in my behalf. But he lived out of state in Michigan. And when I got into court, the judge asked if he was here to testify to his affidavit. And I said, no, he's not. Well, he ruled it hearsay. and I lost my case because
they could have made arrangements to get the guy on the phone. He lives out of state. You can't ask the guy to come driving because you want to go call number one. Number two, his proceeding was probably illegal anyway because it was probably a summary proceeding moving towards summary judgments. And right, the fact that he had a hearing and the fact that he asked these questions and he made a decision, that's summary proceedings. He didn't have the authority to do that. That's not common law. That's not how it works.
Right. I know it wasn't common law. It was a small claims court.
No. But to look at it, if you need a witness because you are going through a trial and they do want to, you know, look at, forget about asking questions. Rebut it. Let the other side come in and write on paper, say, hey, this guy's wrong. This is this, that, the other thing, and blah, blah, blah. And the other guy, you've got to go, it's a back and forth thing. Okay.
As far as the guy living out of state, he's right. I mean, look, if you know you're going in and it's your case and you need that witness to win, you're supposed to let them know ahead of time that you want to do a phone trial. You know, you want them to be able to be questioned on the phone. They're supposed to, they don't like to do it. You know what I mean? If you would have asked permission the week before and say, look, this witness can't come, but he's available on the phone, the judge might have smoothed it over and accepted it. Who knows what he would have done. But the proper procedure is you tell them, and they're supposed to set it up for you, and they're supposed to let you do it. That electronic testifying is legal, and they should have made provision. And obviously he was against you, because what he could have done is he could have postponed it and said, okay, you didn't know about that. He's not there to steamroll you. He's supposed to be there helping everybody, including you. And he should have said,
right,
make arrangements. We'll postpone the thing, and we'll come back next week and let him testify on the phone. What's the matter? He doesn't want to hear the truth?
But that's right, only if there's a trial with a jury. If there's no trial with
jury. Well, no, small claims court, you're not going to have a jury. The judge
Well, small claims is a different thing again. But, again, they need to be operating under American jurisprudence. And it's common law. If it's not common law, it has no power, has no authority, has no jurisdiction. It means nothing. And so it has to be common law. It has to be according to the process of common law. But the bottom line is this. If you're in a courtroom with a judge making a decision, you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong jurisdiction. What's going on here, Your Honor? I don't belong here. That's the point. You see, because a court case going under the rule of one jurist, which is equity, usually contracts, okay, that kind of a case, the judge doesn't even need to get involved in that case till they're done with the paperwork. And forget about discovery. It doesn't exist in common law. You
hey,
either
John,
got the facts or you don't.
We got wheeled into a case.
Well, this has it's a good conversation. But anyway, that's
well,
the bottom line.
We're in the 10 minutes.
Right.
Okay. Thank
anyway,
you.
You get the picture.
Okay. Okay,
yeah.
You. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, next question is a phone number ending in 8354.
Hi, this is Ron calling from California.
Hey.
Although you guys say that habeas corpus cannot be ignored, the question I have is with the order of operation of the habeas corpus, once they're in default and they don't answer the default, does in L.A. or the grand jury, are they the ones that initiate the enforcement by having the sheriff go do his job? Or is that left up to the person who puts the habeas corpus,
it depends on where you filed it from. In other words, like when we do habeas corpus, we do them from the preview of the grand jury granting the habeas corpus. So, yeah, we can go back in and make that order. And look at when anybody ignores a habeas corpus, they get thrown into the case. That's a pressure too. You put them in the case and you bring it to the next highest judge. But at some point, you're right. I mean, look at you're going to file the default. It's a process. When they don't answer, there's a paper trail, and they don't answer. And what you do is you go file the default. And once you have the default, you can collect on it. It's a default, just like any other default. It's just like if the bank was suing you for whatever, and you don't show up, you default, they win their case. I mean, it's a no-brainer decision. So that's, you got to know how to push that. You have to give them the notice of default and the notice of decision, and I mean, depending on how you're doing it, and then you could take that default, and you could send it to a debt collector. You make sure you got a real good wherefore clause in it. You see, that's the trick. What are you asking for?
One of the problems is that we've been so busy, and we've had so many things going on, and a lot of paperwork happening, and you know we haven't really followed up on a lot of the cases that are kind of still out there in limbo. Now they're not ended yet, but they're out there in limbo. We need to deal with it, and we saw from two papers that came in from two different courts what game they're playing. Federal court is playing a game with numbers. They don't see a number. Now, habeas corpus doesn't have a number. They don't. It's a process of the court that just happens all the time. You go into the federal court, and you're challenging the jurisdiction because you're calling for the habeas corpus because they don't have the jurisdiction. And it's not like opening a court case. It's just a one-time hearing. But, you know, we'll play their game, and we'll give them a number. We'll put a number on every one of them so they can have their numbers. The other thing which we did to the mail is we filed a default through the mail. Of course, we did certified mail, and we have, of course, the proof here. But it was never filed officially as a default where you actually go down and you get the stamped paper. You see, that's what we need to do, and that's what we're working on now. We'll put the paperwork together where the people who have got the defaults, they can then take it down to the courts, and then they can file it both in the federal and the court of origin, okay, in both courts, and then they have a piece of paper with a stamp on it, and they go to the judge, and you wave it to the judge. Well, look at this. Here it is. It's got the stamp. It's a default, and here's the file. You know, what's the judge going to do then? At that point, if he denies it and goes against it at that point, then there's only one thing left, and that's an indictment for that judge, and that's where it's got to go. So that's where we're heading to with these things. Yeah, we're going to need really the whole thing is about stress and pressure. That's what it's about, and just keeping on top of the paperwork, on top of the responses, and getting the people behind us. And then also we're going to start pushing on these things when we start to go after the judges or go after the pressuring them. That's when we get our court observers group going, where people will start calling the courts. And if necessary, we'll call the sheriffs, because we will be educating and copying the sheriff at this process as it goes along, and communicating with him, and eventually have a conversation to say, well, okay, we've been sending you all this paperwork, and this is the problem here, and it's very clear on paper that they're violating this person's right of due process, and now you have to get out there and do your job. You are the constitutional officer. And we'll need to spend time with them, that person, that sheriff in that county, to go out and do what has to be done. And so all of that is part of the process.
Okay. I was curious about that because I've had a lot of people ask me questions, especially in California, because they haven't seen that action ever take place. And they think it's a great idea, even though it is common law and constitutional. They just were wondering, because they know how corrupt these courts are, and if everybody ignores it, will the sheriffs actually, does the grand jury, are they the ones that institute the enforcement? Or is it left up to that person
to
go and
remember,
do that?
Remember, the federal judges are not ignoring us. They're playing games, and they're trying to play footsies, but they're not ignoring us. And we have the perfect example, and they still stuck their foot in their mouth, but we have the perfect example out in Utah with Stephen Dean, where we on the one hand, he called us terrorists, and he called him a terrorist. He was with a terrorist group. We were terrorists. That's what national
$1 million bail.
Yeah. And he didn't even get a bail. They didn't give him bail. He was without bail.
All right, no bail. Excuse me.
No bail. Okay? And so that's one day in court. He gets all the paperwork. They're trying to play footsie. It takes them 30 days to play the game, pushing the paperwork back and forth until finally they had to do something. And they had a hearing, and I think the hearing was supposed to be for preparing for trial. And the judge turned it all around and set him free. And in the courtroom, the response was, Well, these people there, you know, this group, National Liberty Alliance, blah, 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 this group, they're really just a bunch of concerned citizens. So we went from terrorists to concerned citizens. Now, that was a federal judge. Why did that federal judge go on the last hearing from terrorists to the next hearing as concerned citizens? Because other judges are talking with him about it. I'm sure he took the, you know, here's a habeas corpus, and what are we going to do? And they were trying to work a strategy to get around it, okay?
Well, not only that, John, he was on the hot seat. The prosecutor wanted more time. He let him go, you know, with probation or whatever it was, and
right,
they wanted to put him in jail for 15 years. But that judge would have had
a big problem right there now, because we need to go back and get rid of that probation. They were ordered to obey that law. And they didn't. And
right.
we went through an indictment on that judge. We haven't applied anything yet because there's things we have to do before we can apply that. And but they got to back off. And I just spoke with Steve this past week or so. I think it was last week. And we're going to get the paperwork to do a filing in a different way, and actually get the stamps, and then we're going to go directly to that judge, and we're going to copy the sheriff on this, and we're going to copy the marshal, and they got a duty to do, and we're going to go after them. You know, why did he continue to, you know, he, on the one hand, he let him loose, he changed his tune, but that's not enough. You need to obey the law. You can't go out and then say, well, we'll put him on probation, you know? So we have to deal with that, and then we will.
So,
but it's all uphill battle.
The point is it's an education process for everybody, and they're getting educated, and they're not used to this. They're not used to the people talking to them like this. Look, we speak with authority. We're not in there like a couple of mice, you know. And they do have a fear of us, and that's our strategy. So that's the answer to that, and I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people don't understand that we have – strategy here, and it's not just a single point strategy. It can go this way or that way, how we apply the pressure, and we will roll out the punches, and there's multiple ways of collecting, and there are monetary damages. You got to make sure you put in your wherefore clauses. So it's not, this is not nothing to play with, you know. I mean, look at, if they thought they could get us for filing something frivolous or false, they would throw us in jail in a heartbeat. So you have to be careful that your paperwork is pristine in that respect, that you're doing, if you're going to do restitution, or, you know what I mean, or collect anything, it has to be perfect. Oh, don't take liens out. Well, guess you can take a lien if you do it right, if you do it legally. You know, they don't have any reason that they can throw you in jail when they've completely defaulted on the paperwork. And that's the trick right there. Anyway, I don't want to beat it to death, but it was a very good subject, because I think there's a misconception throughout the nation of people don't really understand our process, and that's what these Monday night calls do. You bring up questions like that, and it clears it up for a lot of people. So we just killed a lot of questions probably for next week with this question. So thank you. Anyway, I'm going to move on to Peter. Thank you. I forgot who that was over there. And let's see. Okay, New York, Peter, you're on the air.
Yes, 0418. Do you have me on?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to bring up a subject for awareness. There's been a new bill entered into Congress. California's dealing with it. This is about the mandatory vaccines. If Gerard, if you could comment on that, and John, please, about people are losing their rights. And in California, of course, their children are at stake, and they would like to make it mandatory for the adults also. And I would just love if you both could comment tonight for awareness sake.
Yeah, it's a very egregious thing. And California, they're killing the religious exemption too. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. See, I don't even know how they think that they can proceed. You know, if somebody says that they have religious objections to that, you know, they're totally outside the law. You know, and the other thing is they won't sign a paper where they say they take responsibility if there's any adverse reactions to this vaccine that they're demanding that you take. The doctor won't sign it. I mean, look, there's a lot of different ways of fighting this, and that's one of them. And they need to be taken to court. They need to be brought. Like, it's an unconstitutional ruling. Somebody will feed back here on somebody.
Yeah, anyway. The bottom line on this thing here, though, is this. The grand jury can solve this problem because we, the people, need to get into the courts and do what we need to be doing. And this is what we're doing right now, is trying to get into the courts. Once we get in there, all that, none of that's going to hold because the grand jury will never permit it. And we could do papers to shut that down. It's an unconstitutional law. You can't, that body belongs to that person. You can't force a person to yield to someone else their body. You can't do that.
Well,
so,
look at
the solution is what we're doing, and we will deal with that. But go ahead.
Look, if there was an actual pandemic, which they want one, they've been trying to produce one, but it never works. But let's say there was. And they said, well, you got to have this vaccination if you want to be with children or whatever else in your job. Or let's say you had the disease. You can voluntarily quarantine yourself. I don't care what it is. It's either going to kill you or you're going to get over it. When you get over it, you're immune to it. You don't need the vaccine. You see, anytime you catch any of these diseases and they work through, which you can get through all of them using natural methods, it's a lie. You know what I mean? Most people are not going to die from any of these things that they got them all scared about. If you do the proper care, you're going to get over it. And if you do catch it, you're going to have permanent immunity. Their stupid vaccines don't give you permanent immunity. Half the time, they don't even know if they took. I mean, Gary Null is a doctor that has a lot of information on vaccines, all kinds of. He was here in New York. He beat them to death, you know. He's very good. I would suggest that you get some of his stuff. I'm sure he's on it because, you know, the vaccine thing is big in America, and you got a lot of good people fighting it. Of course, they don't know about common law in the court of record. They're playing around in their statutory court, and that's a problem. You know, we got to hook like Gary Null and some of these other doctors that have the information up with the common law court of record, you know, so that they can push their research and their evidence through and end it once and for all. I can't believe that the debate is still going on. It's a lie. It's a lie. Everybody's waking up. These vaccines that they have for women for cervical cancer cause cancer. They've proven it. Causes all kinds of problems. And they know it. And recently they came out with evidence, even CDC whistleblowers, that the kids get autism from the vaccines. There's no doubt. World Health Organization, their own freaking data shows that because they're always experimenting on black people over in Africa and these other third world countries, that boys, black boys that got these shots before 36 months were something like 8 times, whatever it was, more likely to have autism than the ones that waited and got it later, because they're giving it to them when they're very young. You know, young kids, they develop an immune system. These childhood diseases, God put them here to develop our immune system. Measles, mumps. Now, the reason that kids don't die from measles and mumps and stuff is because they don't have an immune system and it doesn't overreact. When you get this stuff when you're older, when you have no immunity to it, it becomes dangerous. It goes into the reproductive glands. It causes sterility. It causes all kinds of horrible things. You know, I mean, it can, in a percentage of an adult that gets it. You're supposed to get them when you're little. See, but they're not letting the natural process happen. You know, and they're saying, oh, well, kids died from this and kids died from that. Well, they didn't know how to treat them. They didn't have, when kids were dying of these things, there wasn't even antibiotics around. It's, you know what I mean? And they probably weren't even dying from the disease. They were dying from dehydration or some other foolish thing that they know how to control today. You know what I mean? I mean, they found out. They used to say, oh, the fever gives you brain damage. It's not the fever that gives you brain damage. It's the dehydration of the fever. They, as a matter of fact, they figured out if they put people on IVs and they raise their bodies to 100 and I don't know, 6, 7, 8, some ridiculous temperature, that the cancer dies. It's a cancer treatment, raising the body temperature above 104, 105, up to 108 degrees, and the cancer can't live and it dies. And they're doing it all the time to people, and they're having good luck with it. And so it's not the fever. That was a lie. You know, you see, they feed us these lies, and then that's what gets out there, and that's what everybody believes. You know? So, look, there's all kinds of methods, and it's a good subject, but one thing is there's a lot of information on vaccines, a lot of different doctors. I mean, you Google it, it's unbelievable. It's voluminous, the amount of information you can get. Dr. Gary Null is another one to look up. He may even be in on it. I'm sure you're going to see people, and I'm sure we're going to get into it too. So I want to move on because it's getting late. I don't mean to cut you off, but that was a good thing to bring up, because it is an issue that's going to become greater as the months and weeks go on. Because look at, they're pushing to bring the bottom up, and if they could do it with a disease, they'll do it. And they're trying to kill us, and that's what they're doing with those vaccinations. They're shortening our lifespan. That's
absolutely
my opinion.
Thank you very much,
Peter. Yeah. Okay, we have unknown. 3574, you've been unmuted. What's your name?
Yeah, hi. My name's Tanya. How are you?
Good. Tanya?
Can you hear? No, it's Tanya. Hello.
Oh, Tanya.
Where
are you from?
I have a California, San Jose.
Okay. Yeah, California's a big night tonight. Go ahead.
I do have a question. One thing, when you were talking about all the letters went out to the federal court, did that also include the FISA court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, as well? Are they included in the same category? I just want to reconfirm.
The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court? I don't think so, because I haven't heard that. We send it to the federal courts.
Yeah, there are 94 federal district courts. That's where we send it to, all 94. Those are the federal district courts. Now, there are other different courts that they've created, and I don't know anything about those things. We've mentioned courts in our papers that have been created on a federal level that has nothing to do with the authority given to them. If they're not common law courts, then they're no court at all.
Okay, because according to the Internet, apparently they're a part of the U.S. federal court, so I just wanted to know, would they be held accountable as well?
What's the name of the court now?
The Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court.
Sounds like BS to me. Look at this.
Sounds like the NSA.
Yeah. I'm sure they have they don't have common law in their federal district courts, so I'm sure they don't have common law there either.
I don't know. I just wanted to know, because like I said, it does say on the internet that they're with the U.S. United States federal courts, and I just wanted to know if you had any idea what their positioning would be, you know. So anyways, you don't really know.
Surveillance courts, what are they dealing with, issues with surveillance?
Foreign intelligence sounds like people who are foreigners, illegal aliens and things like that. Foreign intelligence surveillance.
They do work with the NSA, but hold on for a second.
Well, there's a Nazi organization for you.
Yeah, they don't even have a good charter. They're another baloney ABC corporation.
They look out for terrorism in the country, and what they'll do is they will be given they will give like law enforcement and police authority to do surveillance on a certain person, either usually they're doing foreigners that live in the United States, but they're starting to do a lot of Americans as well. But they're allowing warrants for surveillance to law enforcement, and they're claiming
totally illegal. Totally illegal. totally a end run around your due process rights. You know, I mean, who's the grand jury that's giving the indictment for the judge to write the warrant out? They're not even doing that. They're probably writing their own indictments. Just like the Patriot Act, they can write their own thing, their secret indictments that you're not allowed to tell anybody about. I've never heard anything more ridiculous in my life. And that's probably what they're doing. So I wouldn't give them any credibility. I wouldn't mess with them. I mean, are they under the Constitution? Is this America? Those are simple questions, and they should have simple answers. So as far as I'm concerned, they're a foreign entity operating over here. They're an enemy. They fit the definition of what a terrorist is. Look up the definition of a terrorist.
That's funny.
I truly believe that. But anyway, I want to move on because it's getting late and we got Utah there. I want to hit Utah. So thank you for that.
Yep.
Utah, Steve, go ahead.
Hello.
Ooh, you got a way overlit modulated mic there.
Okay, just a second.
You're rumbling my speech.
Is that better?
Try again.
Is that okay?
That's much better.
How about now?
There you go.
Okay.
That's good.
That's Steve in Price, Utah. I've been working a case of my own out here, but studying the statutes here, and it says in the statutes that common law is abolished, common law crimes are abolished, and that and it's not a crime unless the statutes say it is. You know, I mean,
how could that be?
So well, then that means that the Constitution has been abolished.
Right, right. What's a common law crime? You know, it's murder. Has murder been abolished?
Right. But what I'm thinking is this whole thing's it's all about the money. I mean, that's why the legislature has brought down and has kicked the common law pretty much out of the courts is because the state doesn't receive the fines at the common law, you know, premise. Is that correct? I mean, they don't levy the fines that the state's collecting.
You're right, because there would be restitution to the people, and the state wouldn't, and the lawyers wouldn't be able to get it, and they wouldn't be able to drag it out for 5 years. It would be over in 30 days. So, yeah, it is all about the money. And it's about the authority, too, that the judges don't like the people, you know, taking over their authority, and that's exactly what the court of record does. It basically puts the court back in the people's hands and takes the judge's ability to make a decision away. And, yeah, they're not gonna take kindly to it.
All right. And the judges are making 20% off their fines and for their retirement.
Well, they do. That's right. That's people don't know that. Every time they bang their gavel and they make put somebody in jail, they make money off it. I mean, how could he be an unbiased judge when he's making
right.
money
the
on putting you in
the
jail?
The legislature, there can't be touched while they're in office for writing these laws that are abolishing the common law.
Well, they should be brought up on treason charges just for even suggesting something like that.
Well, that's
everybody's too dumbed down and stupid to do it, though.
Well, that's why. I mean, that's how they abolished the common law in the first place. The legislature wrote the law to abolish it.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. The legislators can write anything they want, but that's not how you amend the constitutions. That's not a process. You see, the trouble look at the judges should have been slapping them on that. When the legislators write something stupid, the balance of powers would be that the judge would say, no, you can't do that. But it's like
the bar is the one that instigated the whole thing for the legislators to write the law. Would that not be correct?
Well, because you want to know the truth, that's who's writing it. It's the bar lawyers. It's not the legislators. They're just signing the crap. They don't even read it. And like Pelosi says, well, you gotta pass it to know what's in it, which I got a kick out of because the one guy who was a doctor said, yeah, that's the definition of a stool sample. You have to pass it to know what's in it, and that's exactly
so
what that
the paper,
Patriot Act
we find
was.
Find the paper trail back to the legislation that was written from whoever it was that wrote it. Couldn't we indict them people for treason?
I think you could indict all of them. I think you could indict the ones that wrote it. I think you could indict the ones that passed it. Look at it. We don't even have to worry about the lawyers that wrote it because they're useful idiots also. But the elected officials that voted on it, we could go through their voting record, and anybody that voted for this legislation should be brought up on treason charges. That's an unconstitutional legislation.
So
it should have never passed. It should have never been brought up. We could go through their voting records and say, look, you voted for this subversive piece of legislation. It's unconstitutional. You have no business being a congressman or a senator if you don't know that this is unconstitutional.
So can we go after them to make them to repeal that?
Well, look, it's the only way. At the point that we're going to go after them to get that to go away is after we've gotten into these courts on these lower things. That top court is going to be the last thing to fall because it's on the top, and they got all the money, and that's why we're attacking where we're attacking because, look, they're going to circle the wagons up there. They're not going to let you in the courts. They got all, you know, they'll call the military out. They see you coming 10 miles down the road. You know, you're going to have smoke screens and bombs at your feet, and that's how they operate. So
in the court case,
what we're doing is,
you know, they said it's the legislation that they said that the legislators have made it into a statutory law, and the common law is no more. And it was legislation that made it that way, and that's
we have it right. Look, we indicted Judge Prudente, and that's exactly what she said. She said common law has been abrogated in New York State by the legislators. We wrote in our paper, if you go back to the paperwork that we sent to the top judges in New York State, you know, we answered her on that. We said, who do you think we are, a bunch of dumbbells? You can't abrogate the common law. And then she gave us some case, Hughes versus something, that she was using to defend that position. And when I read the judge's decisions, the 5-4 decision, whatever it was, I said, look at these four judges that said that that's unconstitutional. Guess what? I read the decision that the four of them said and the five of them said, and we're the grand jury. We're the people. We agree with the five judges that said it's unconstitutional. And so it's end of discussion. It's unconstitutional. We don't care what you think. I mean, they obviously didn't answer us, but that's what we did. Look at you got four judges that says this is unconstitutional, and then you got these five idiots going, oh no, it's okay. And it was clearly unconstitutional what they were talking about. Clearly. And the four of them had enough sense to write it in there.
Common law. I was told in court that the statutory law is based off of common law and is you know, it gets its
it's supposed to be
enactment from the common law, and they haven't abolished the common law. They've just abolished the common law crimes, which a lot of them common law crimes would put them in the slammer for what they're doing. Am I correct?
Well, it's just gobbledygook. I mean, how do you abolish a common law crime? I mean, in other words, just apply murder to it. Just get to the ridiculous thing that they're trying to talk about. Murder is a common law crime, is it not?
It is. It is. I understand what you're saying, but it's also
so. How do you abolish murder? They're trying to do that. They've converted
the common law into statutory law, but they've just taken out the things that damage them, and where that you can we can have control over our politicians.
The only reason they
bring them
the only reason that they get away with it is because we don't hold their feet to the fire on this stuff.
Hey, Gerard, we're in the fast lane to 10 minutes.
Okay.
Well,
yeah, I think we got the idea. And look, they'll steamroll if you let them. That's all there is to it. They're going to steamroll if you allow them to. You know, they use words like it's obsolete. Well, what does obsolete mean? If a tool is obsolete, it doesn't mean it doesn't work anymore. The guy that used to use that obsolete tool that was a master, he can still use it. So that's what I tell them. I don't care if you think it's obsolete or not. Guess what? My obsolete shovel is just dug you a hole. I'm going to bury you in it, okay? Anyway.
Godspeed the NLA, huh? Well, you'll Godspeed the NLA.
Yep, thank you. Okay, we got Sarah. You have been unmuted.
Hi, how are you? I am trying to bring awareness. I don't know, I think when the Pope was here in New York City, they started an initiative about strong cities. I don't know if you're aware of that.
About what?
Strong Cities Network.
Yeah, it's his new constitution is what it is. He's trying to set up a new world order, and he's basically done some stuff that it's in the news, but it's not in the news. It's like they're talking about it, but they're not talking about it. And because the money is going down, they're all jockeying for position here to see who ends up on top. And what the Pope is doing is just trying to take control of the situation because they know our money's going down. They know there's going to be a vacuum. They know somebody's going to step into that vacuum. So there's a race between the Obama people, who I consider socialists, and the Nazi people, who is George Bush and Dick Cheney, and the Vatican, who claims to run everything and that all the corporate charters are under them, because they are, because that's where they initiated from. So they pulled the corporate charters of all the corporations, and essentially the Pope has said that he runs the civil America now. It's like he's the commander in chief. I mean, I'm watching this and I'm looking at it, and it's and so then you have other people over there countering that. I don't really know what's going on, but it's more of the same baloney, and there's lots of factions up there jockeying for position right now, because we are in a very tumultuous time, and we are, you know, there is going to be a new money that comes in. And look, at Texas has already decided to bring the gold back in. That's a good hedge. It's a good safe place for the people to go in Texas. It's a good first step. Other states should step up to the plate and do that, because that's the answer. They don't want it because it will work. And it's very, very late. We can fix this thing, but we should have fixed it 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when there were people screaming back then and writing books saying, look, you have to fix this now. They purposely didn't fix it. And so now you got the Pope and all his minions and everybody else trying to get into that position. Look, as insidious as this new world order is, they're still don't have control of the top. You know, there's some infighting on the top of who's going to take control. You know what happens in a very large heist? A bunch of men rob a bank and they steal multi-millions of dollars, and the theft goes off without a glitch. But then what happens is they start killing each other off because they get greedy, right? It's kind of like that is the easiest way I can explain it. You have to watch it. I don't know where it's going to go. I'm trying not to get too involved in it because I don't know. Look, we're aware of it, and there's plenty of people out there that are aware of it, and we'll keep our eye on it. And, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, if we can get in the courts, you know, once we get them to come in on the lower end, the upper's going to fall because they're standing. You know, they need to stand in the counties and in the states. And if we can take these courts back and get into the courts, you know, on the local level and bring them back to common law, they're done. They're all done. The Pope is done. They're all done. And so,
right, because
it really is the answer.
Right, because they're trying to go into the, you know, our level, county level, municipal level. So they're starting from the bottom, sort of like grow roots.
They understand the process too, just like I said, just like we do. They understand that they need to get it in on the local level because they need to control the local people. Because when the money goes down and there's no food and there's trouble, and you know, they need to make trouble to bring this thing in. They need to make people hungry. They need some rioting. They've been trying for unrest. They've been doing false flags and getting caught. You know, for the past. You know, since 9/11, they've been trying to bring something up that would cause some sort of like a revolution so that they can lock us down, and they haven't been able to do it. I honestly believe that whole Boston thing was such a fiasco. I mean, the people had more pictures, and Alex Jones had more pictures, say what you will about him. He had more pictures than the FBI did, released them earlier, blew that whole thing out of the water. That could have been the thing that they locked us down with. Now they got all these shootings going on with all these crisis actors. They must think we're really stupid. You know, look, fool me once, you know, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. They're playing the same game over and over, and people have to wise up after a while.
And I think they will. I think they are have wised up, and it's up to us to articulate it and put these videos out and put it out on the internet to educate people. It's all baloney. This municipal stuff. It's the same thing with the Agenda 21 Common Core. It's all part of the same plan, and that's
right.
What it is. So I don't want to beat it to death too much, but you're right. It is something. It is part of their strategy unfolding here. So we have to be aware and we have to watch. And you know how successful they're going to be. I don't know. I do know if they're going to be as successful as we let them be, or as successful as we are with our common law courts. That's the only thing that I could see that's going to stop them.
Right. So I just wanted to bring that to the attention, because I know it's fairly new, and I don't know if somebody's watching it. And, you know, and I'm.
No, we're aware. Like, look, thank God. God bless the internet. Okay, that's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it wasn't for the information getting out there, we wouldn't know. And most of the stuff they did over the past 50 years, we didn't know. It was done in silent. But it says in the Bible, and God says the hidden things will no longer remain hidden. And I believe He's talking about this garbage. Okay?
That's right. Thank you so much, Joab.
Yeah. Okay, we got a VOIP dialer, unknown, whoever he is. You're unmuted.
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello? This is Lydia Dmachowski, and I would like to ask the question. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. We're listening. You got 5 minutes. Go ahead. Quick.
Yeah, you know, I'm living in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I was charged, my child was taken to custody and this year, but was and lied about things, and they charged me with criminal, the investigation.
Well, you're discussing a case that we can't do on this call. What you need to do is you need to tell your story to one of the IRC members, because if you're in dire straits of imminent, you know, going to jail or something, you're going to need a habeas corpus. I mean, I don't know what your case is, but it sounds to me like, you know, you're probably in a case that's moving pretty quickly, and you need to get some paperwork filed to stop them. And the only thing that I know that you can do is get your case in there, because you're not going to know how to do it yourself. You're going to need help. So I would go ahead and get a hold of the intake people right away and give them your story and have them help you doing your affidavit and get it in. And that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah,
okay?
So
I need, because I am about to retain an attorney. Is this okay to have an attorney and do a habeas corpus as well?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
Is this okay to have an attorney? Because I will have arraignment soon.
They're gonna arraign you? Yeah, you can. Yeah. At any time, you can do a habeas corpus, but you need to hurry because they're gonna arraign. They're gonna steamroll you. You're gonna end up in jail. And then you're gonna need a next friend to file it. As long as you're not out of jail, you can.
No, I was bailed out. I was in jail for few hours, and my husband bailed out, and I am out. They cannot put me in jail again, but they have a...
Oh, yes, they can. Just because you're on bail doesn't mean they can't violate you, and don't believe that they won't, especially if they think you're going to fight them pretty good. I don't know what your charges were, but I don't really want to talk about it, because this is not the place to do it.
That's proven, and you know, I never was in jail. I never have a very clear record. I never had problem, but it was.
Look, if you just bailed out and you're going to be arraigned, you have time. Call the IRC and fill out paperwork, and let them get the process going. You know, tell the story. You got to tell somebody up there your story and get the paperwork filled out. That's your only answer with these guys, because look at. They're going to violate your due process. They probably already have. I don't know the particulars. I don't want to get into it. But I'm telling you, get up there and get a hold of somebody and talk to them. And if there's a language barrier, see that they, you know, they'll get you some kind of a, somebody who can understand more of your language if that's what's necessary. But do it right away. I don't want to get into a case because we're ready to quit now. So,
what about the lawyer? I can employ the lawyer.
Well, if you get a lawyer, look, it's up to you. But when you get a lawyer, that puts you right into their place where they want you, and you're going to have all kinds of trouble. I don't want to give you legal advice here, so that's up to you what you do as far as a lawyer goes. Myself, if I was being arraigned, I would never get a lawyer. That's me, because I know how they operate, and a lawyer is beholden to the court first. And you're like number four on the lawyer's, who he cares for list. And number one he cares for is the judge. So a lawyer's not your friend, I'm sorry. And, if you don't know anything and you got enough money, look, you get all the justice that you can afford in America with a lawyer. If you can afford it and you can pay him, you can get a real good one, yeah, you'll get out and you'll pay a fine, whatever it is. I don't know what happened, but that's the deal. So I'm going to move on. Call one of those people up there and talk to them. I don't want to take up any more time with this. And just make sure you get the right help, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
We got Mr. Black, who I believe went through this before. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm done. The show's over.
10 seconds.
You got a 10-second slap.
All right, well, we've come to the end. It looks like we went through all the callers tonight. That's good, because Mr. Black was on earlier, so he's come back through, and others behind him. So,
all right,
thanks, everybody, for coming. We appreciate and don't forget to come back next Monday. And, again, pass the word around. Let's get people involved in what we're doing. And don't forget, on Sundays, we have Bible studies at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here in this room. Meet the King. Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Nothing's good, the news is bad. The heat goes on and it drives you mad. Your way, you should turn away, 'cause there's nothing more to say. You gave the best you had to give. You only have one life to live. You fought so hard, you were a slave. Yeah.